just died.
Media and paparazzi surrounded the home that she shared with her husband, Simon Monjak.
Simon took her away. He made sure no one could get to her.
Hi, my name is Brittany Murphy, and I go to Herbert Hoover Middle School.
Brittany was so wonderful. There was nobody else like her.
There was kind of a sweet, childish, lost quality that she had that just breaks your heart.
She was successful immediately.
You cannot be a teen girl and not love Brittany in 8 Mile, Clueless. These are movies that will stand the test of time. Brittany Murphy was super cute, but in Hollywood, you have to be a Gwyneth Paltrow.
She was not a typical pretty girl, and so many young women in Hollywood are pressured enormously. She had lost an inordinate amount of weight, and she was dressing totally differently.
She said, "That's what I've been told. If I wanted to be considered as a leading lady." During a little dip she was having, he came along. And I think that's where her judgment was muddled and she became prey.
Simon said that he was the largest collector of Vermeer, dated Elle Macpherson and Madonna. He said that he had been dying from terminal brain cancer and that he had bought an experimental treatment derived from the fins of sharks. Every single word out of his mouth was a lie.
We all were scared and freaked out. Like, who was this guy?
Once they got married, they were holed up in that house 24/7.
Nobody got close to her.
Last one, guys.
You start to think, well, okay, who gained from her dying?
There were more unanswered questions after the autopsy came out than there were answered questions.
People start thinking, there's more behind this. There's something else.
Simon had all these secrets.
He actually said people in the government were watching them. Brittany's dad was sure someone had done it.
You visibly see mold.
Is the house cursed?
Something made her sick. A healthy 32-year-old doesn't just die.
Back down the Hollywood rabbit hole we go. We're going to talk about Brittany Murphy. Yes, the late Brittany Murphy, who died in 2009. It's an old story, but it's worth revisiting because HBO released a documentary series, What Happened to Brittany Murphy. And ironically, they didn't go through all of the ideas about what really happened to Brittany Murphy, because I believe it was a setup from HBO or whoever, you know, try to get this film out there to plant this idea of what really caused her death. They wanted to basically assign blame to bulimia and her husband, which, I mean, obviously could be contributing factors, obviously, but there's a lot of other elements that they, you know, didn't go through. So we're going to go through them today. We're going to go through, this is going to be a two-part episode, right? The first part is going to cover this HBO documentary, What Happened to Brittany Murphy. We'll talk a little bit about the haunted house that she lived in, that Britney Spears owned, with portals opening up. Which, again, don't you think HBO would have mentioned this? I guess not. We'll talk about her shady husband and his creepy interview with Larry King. Mind control symbolism right there in plain sight. Lots to unpack here. We're going to talk about the documentary mostly in part one, a little bit about the haunted house theory. Then in part two, we're going to revisit this wild idea that I wrote about in 2012 on my blog, which has since been deleted since I got, you know, sued for blogging, basically. But don't worry, there's no suppression shakedowns going on anywhere. But we're going to go through the original article I wrote that you can no longer see, apparently. Well, not apparently. I had to take them all down. I didn't have to. I chose to. Because that's how shakedown works, right? You threaten people, and it scares them from talking about things in the way that I had to do it on the blog. But now I've got a podcast, so we're going to talk about it. That's going to be part two. And in that one, we're going to go into this idea that she was part of a case a whistleblower had set up against the Department of Homeland Security. And that one's pretty wild, too. It's almost unbelievable. But I was able to find some evidence of the linkage there. And that, I think, is a big part of this story. And it's very strange how they neglected to mention it on this documentary. Unless, of course, it was some kind of attempt, a revisionist history attempt, to sort of put this case to bed about what really happened without telling us what really happened. So, without further ado, let's get into it. In 2009, Britney Spears died at 1895 Rising Glen in Los Angeles. Of course, all the paparazzis were there. And then the show gives you this background of Brittany Murphy. And it's clear from a young age that she was always going to be a star, right? They play some clips, which I will play here. Oh, by the way, if you're on my supporter feeds and you're looking for the video version of this podcast, I could not do it this time. There's a bunch of great excuses. I'm going to blame it on Steve Jobs, though. Let's put him. You got to dig him up and yell at him. Because I ordered a new laptop in November. Still not here. But hey, you know what? That's how it goes. That's how it goes right now. We're all used to waiting. So anyhow, long story short, no video on this one. My apologies. Things will be looking great this year later on. Hopefully by February, I'll have this thing. So anyway, they play some clips. And it's really odd because, you know, I grew up back in these days of the 80s and 90s when video cameras were these big clunky things that you jammed a VHS tape in. And I found this first, I'm going to play this clip. It was pretty odd because, you know, kids back then, they were not outgoing on camera. We're used to it nowadays with the social media and the TikTok and the Instagram. Kids appear to be more outgoing, but back then you just didn't. Like, we don't, if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, you don't have hundreds and hundreds of photos of yourself or video, much less video. And even if you did get captured on video, it was always this really embarrassing sort of thing, right? And you can tell she's super natural in front of the camera. That's why I said, like, it's pretty clear she had a talent.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Reich Schoonheim, and here we are at the 27th annual Metuchen Country Fair. This is Metuchen on the Air. Excuse me? Yes, I would like a children's perspective.
Great.
What is your name?
Brittany.
Brittany, how are you doing today, Brittany?
Great, how are you?
Very good. You want a job hosting a television show?
Sure.
How about you interview these people over here?
Okay, sure. Hi, do you like the fair here today?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Karitza.
Where are you from?
Edison.
You're from Edison. Oh my goodness, how old are you?
11.
Why are you here at the fair today?
Because it's fun.
Nice talking with you. Same here.
Give us your name and what school do you go to?
Hi, my name is Brittany Murphy and I go to Herbert Hoover Middle School.
So they spend a good deal of time going over her background, sort of laying the foundation that, hey, this was a very talented woman, right? And then we're introduced to her husband, Simon Monjak. And immediately they're laying this idea that her husband was mad shady, which they go through in the rest of the documentary, but they hit you with a lot of good points up front. A lot of people say, look, this couple, this guy, Simon, he was a real mystery. And these two never went out. You know, the theory is that this dude was shady and he was in some way taking advantage of her, even killing her. And other people start floating theories about how she was bulimic. You hear briefly about how the feds were watching her. I mean, it's a, you'd have to listen for it. You have to know it's coming to even think about it because it's a blip. When it's a much larger part of the story, I believe. There's theories of overdosing on drugs. And we'll get into some of those conspiracies later. But yeah, this Simon guy, definitely shady. definitely shady. The coroner said that Simon seemed under the influence when he was talking to him. But to be fair, right? Like, he just lost his wife. When she passed out in the bathroom, Simon apparently took her to a cold shower to wake her up and delayed the CPR, which is all very strange, right? Like, I don't know how one would react to such a horrific situation. But I gotta think, if your wife's passed out, your first instinct wouldn't be like, I know, let's put her into a cold shower. But things happen. Like Michael Jackson, right? When he died in, what was his name, Conrad Murray, his doctor, was doing CPR on the bed. And I'm no doctor, but I've learned CPR, self-aid buddy care, in the military. And right off the bat, I was like, well, that's weird. You have to do it on a firm surface. But hey, you know what? I've never been in that position. Maybe you would try it on the mattress. So, food for thought. I don't know. Believe what you want, right? But anyways, they're saying about how he did all these awful things. Then he says he doesn't want an autopsy because if you go to a Hollywood Reporter interview, he clarifies why. He said he didn't want her beautiful body violated because it was against the Orthodox Jewish tradition. But on the show, they kind of make it sound like he's just being mad shady because they wanted to know what was in her system. They allege that Simon was super controlling, kept her in the house 24/7. They even float suspicions that he was sleeping with Brittany Murphy's mother. And it gets weird, right? Because after Brittany's death, Simon and Brittany's mom, they go on to Larry King. And I'll play a clip, and you can hear like some weird ways they talk. Like for, and I watched the whole interview, and we'll go through it. We'll go through the whole interview.
I'm Roger Neal, the publicist for Simon Monjack and Sharon Murphy post Brittany's death. So about a month after Brittany passed away, I received a phone call from Simon Monjack. They needed a publicist because there was a lot going on in the press, a lot of rumors. When I got the call to go meet with Simon and Sharon, I went on the internet and did a search. So this shot here, I wouldn't have them put in that position. To me, that's not a typical son-in-law, mother-in-law pose for a photo. We're talking about tabloid media fodder. They had done some interviews because Larry King is the one interview that the world watches. But watching that show, man, they wasn't good for them at all.
You didn't want an autopsy at first?
No, I didn't. There was this woman who just lost her daughter. It was such a shock. This pristine body that was curvy in all the right places and the skin like silk. And how could I say in front of her mother, cut her up?
When I watched it, I sort of like, oh no. It made you cringe watching some of it. And she seemed a little out of it.
You were living in the house?
Sharon lived with us throughout the month.
Yeah, also.
That's the three of you lived together.
I was always there, and my daughter and I lived together always. And
so what happened that day?
That's why these rumors are so ludicrous.
I actually saw part of it. I had that question in my mind. Is this for real, or is this bull? I was contacted by the driver that was driving him that night, who happened to be an LAPD officer, who moonlighted as a chauffeur. And he said, they got to the studio. They did this very tearful interview in front of Larry King.
Larry, we have clung to each other.
It's been weeks.
We cry day after day after day. I lay and I look at the ceiling. My mother-in-law comes in with neuropathy shaking, needing to be held.
The driver said that as soon as they walked out, it seemed like their whole interview was a hoax.
I'll say this because I know you can't. She said, Mom, I'm dying, I love you.
And Mom, I'm dying, I love you. She knew she was dying.
This was a better hour before, but
No, baby, this was you've forgotten
time. Sweetheart. Oh.
Well, the takeaway for me from that interview is Sharon yielded to Simon.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. Simon Monjack, he calls Brittany's mom baby. And he says that Brittany told her mom prior to her own death that she was going to die. Which you see oftentimes, right? A lot of times in the rap music, right? The Extentation, Juice WRLD, Tupac, Big, they all talked about how they were going to die. It's like they knew somehow. Isn't that very bizarre? And I'm going to go into this idea with the haunted house and this spiritual side of Brittany Murphy. Like, she left her last movie she was working on because she didn't like the vibes, the Santeria stuff they were filming. But HBO tells you otherwise. They're like, no, she was just being a real, drug addict loser. But hey, I wasn't there. I don't know. But they claim that after the Larry King interview, the chauffeur said that Simon and Brittany's mother were acting like the whole thing was a hoax. Which was really bizarre. So I thought, well, I'm going to watch this whole Larry King interview. So I did. And I'll give you the summation of what I found strange, right? Simon said that during this, and this is the Larry King interview, right? Which they don't play the whole thing, obviously. It's like an hour long. Simon said that he shot photos of Brittany when she was 17. And I looked up their ages to try to ascertain, how inappropriate this was. He was 24, she was 17. On the scale of inappropriateness, it's like, it's on there, but, it's like he was 50. So, okay. But what I thought was, these grooming kind of predator types, they of course go for underage girls, like the younger, the more they can sort of groom them. That's as we see with Epstein and stuff, right? He was focused on saying that throughout the interview, he's focused on talking about how, I paid my own way and, for no reason whatsoever. He kept bringing it up. But he insisted on selling this idea that he was self-sufficient without her. And he talks about all these prescriptions because you find out in the documentary he had like 90 prescription bottles on his nightstand or something crazy like that. And he asserts that, this is for my seizures and my migraines. And he's got heart attacks. Super healthy guy. Then he says that, and Brittany Murphy's got seizures from all the artificial smoke she was around. It's so bizarre. He said he's got a green card, right? Because there's some allegations that he was using her to stay in America. But he's like, look, I got a green card. The federal government is quite happy with me. Which goes against some of the other theories about the whistleblower thing. But I wanted to throw that in there. He didn't seem to... If the feds were really behind her death, he seemed to be going along with it and staying hush-hush about it in this Larry King interview. Larry King straight up asked him if he's a Svengali, right? Like a controller, a groomer. And he's like, no way. And then no less than 4 minutes later, he details how he would always have to be the one to do her hair and makeup. This is bizarre behavior, right? And Larry King asked he straight up asked him, like, hey, is Brittany Murphy the breadwinner in this relationship? And he's like, no. And he again insists he paid his own way. Even though in the documentary you find out he's a total fraud and has no money. And we find out that the Brittany Murphy estate would go to her mother, Sharon, which supports the theory of why he was allegedly having sex with Brittany's mother. And it's very strange, and I'm an okay read on people. He seems mad creepy, but again, what do I know? I don't want to talk about a dead man. But you know, during the interview, he's calling Britney's mom baby, which is, it's just bizarre. There's something very strange going on. I don't know what it is. And the interview did not look good. It was not a good look. But back to the HBO documentary here. We find out there's 90 bottles of medications on Simon's nightstand under various aliases. Like, I don't know why you would need an alias to have medic, because according to the Larry King interview, it's for seizures, migraines, and heart attacks. So why you need an alias to treat those things, I don't know. That doesn't make sense. Like, none of it makes any sense, first off. Let's get to that. So you're not going to walk away from any of this content with knowing what happened to Brittany Murphy. Okay. The first journalist Simon talks to is led in the house, right? And this journalist, she said that there was a ton of security, like a crazy conspiracy theorist lived there. Which would make sense if the feds were watching you, which is the argument we're going to talk about in part two. They show the bathroom that she died in, and it looks crazy, right? She dies right next to the bathtub, we find out. And you know all the conspiracies about the bathtub. And you know what's up with the bathtub, right? I've talked about it many times. The passage of the goddess, the cleansing ritual. We've seen it appear many times in pop culture history, unfortunately. Whitney Houston, her daughter Bobby Christina, both passed away in the bathtub. Allegations of blood sacrifice and the Illuminati. Kim Kardashian put in the bathtub in Paris when they threatened Kanye West back in the day. And here's Brittany Murphy, who died right next to the bathtub. Now, do I think that's what happened with this case? Not really. I mean, A, she didn't die in the bathtub. But, you know, maybe, right? I don't know. Just something to throw out there. They do make point to note that it was right next to the bathtub. Everyone's talking about Simon Monjack, about how he controlled the family. He controlled Brittany. He controlled Brittany's mother, Sharon.
Sharon.
And the journalist was saying how when she looked at the bed, both sides of the bed were being used. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's because Sharon gets in the bed with me. Like, bro, like this is just like when I went on my Michael Jackson tirade recently, which surprisingly no one said anything about, but hey. The same argument, right? Like, why has he got the kids in the bed with him? It's bizarre, right? I'm not saying that's bad. I'm not saying it automatically means you're doing something inappropriate, but God, it's weird. It's weird behavior. So Sharon, she got the estate of Brittany Murphy off the will. And first off, I think, well, why not the husband? So I don't know why Simon wasn't supposed to get the estate, but he wasn't. But the idea they're presenting here is he had to finesse mom to get the money. So he's got her in bed and he's calling her baby on Larry King and, you know, maybe sleeping with her. So Simon, he starts a Brittany Murphy Foundation after her death, and he tried to charge people to attend this memorial, but obviously there was some backlash for that, so he dissolved the memorial and the foundation and everything. So the guy's a real shady dude, right? Then they begin to float the bulimia theory, and they play clips like Howard Stern calling Brittany the fat ugly chick from Clueless, which is wild, right? And she, at this point, she was dating Ashton Kutcher, but she broke up with him, dates a bunch of other dudes, she meets Simon, and they both immediately want to get married. And they're claiming that the cause of death is pneumonia, but they said she was also anemic and took a grip of medications on her own. But nobody likes that answer. Everyone thinks a young, rich celebrity shouldn't die from pneumonia. Because we find out that they both hesitated to go get medical treatment while she had pneumonia. And you know, like, no one likes to see a celebrity die. No one likes to see a beautiful person die either, by the way. You know, it's always it's a tragedy when a young person dies, but it's a real tragedy when they're beautiful like Brittany Murphy was, right? I don't know, why is that? Why do we always pull for, you know, like if someone dies, you're like, there's always the caveat. If someone dies, you're like, oh, and they were so good looking. As if their life was worth more. And maybe it is. Maybe God gives us a gift of beauty, and you know, it's like seeing a beautiful ocean. Maybe it's like seeing a beautiful ocean, and it's tragic to see plastic floating around in it. Maybe it's like that. Man, I'm coming up with some great ideas today, folks. All right, where are we at? Simon Shady. Okay, well, let's talk more about Simon being shady. Some guy met Simon, and he was lied to. And Simon was claiming that his father was this steel magnate, and he told all these lies about how, you know, he dated Madonna, had 17 Ferraris. But the point is that he's a liar, but he was also very convincing somehow, which blows my mind. I mean, he looks like a creep, but hey. Sometimes creepy people have money, so it could be. So they interview Simon's mother and brother, and they're like, well, you know, he was so intelligent, and he could charm anyone. And mom also claims that, you know, Simon was crying in disbelief for hours on the phone. He was such a mess, implying that Simon would never be behind Britney's death, and implying that, well, he couldn't be manipulative. Look, he was crying on the phone with me for 2 hours. But the vibe you get from the interview with Simon's mother, you know, and here's the thing, I'm going to say something that's not very popular, but I feel like on some levels, having children, there's a mental barrier that gets put up. And I think rightfully so. I think it's God or nature's way of preventing you from killing your kids when they're young, when they're so annoying and needy, right? But it creates this mental illness on some levels. Like, you can't cope with the reality that your child is a scumbag. And you can't come, like, it's impossible to not defend their actions. It's just my observation, right? No judgment attached, no right or wrong. I just notice it all the time. And she fits right in there. She can't deal with the reality that her son was a liar and a manipulator. So anyway. But then on this documentary, which is a two-parter, by the way, things get even more bizarre in the story. Because 5 months after Brittany Murphy dies of pneumonia, boom, Simon wakes up dead. Now he's gone too. 5 months. And do you know how hard it is for young people to die? It's not easy. Even if you're unhealthy. Like, I'm not talking about like accidental, like, you know, car accident death. I'm talking about just your body shutting down and dying. Well, he died with a slew of medications, and he died from pneumonia, and he died in the same bathroom. And they show the list of medications. I'm like, good God, how many medications does this guy need? Apparently very unhealthy, but I don't know how he finds the energy to do Brittany's hair and her makeup. It's like, dude, better hit the prayers, the trainings, and the vitamins, Simon. Good night. Now, they float the idea that mold is the problem in the house, but the coroner asserts there's no evidence of mold in the lungs, so they sort of dismiss that. Brittany Murphy's father, Angelo, alleges that she was poisoned and murdered. And allegedly, he's got mob ties. Angelo gets a hair sample, sends it in, because he's like, look, I'm going to figure this out. And it shows there's these heavy metals, and maybe she was poisoned. So now he's looking at mom. She's in the crosshairs because she's the only one left alive. She's living in the house. She don't have the pneumonia. She don't have the mold. She didn't wake up dead in the bathtub. So Angelo's like, damn, mom, you killed both of them. But then the claims are, well, the metals were in the hair. That's different from metals in the bloodstream. So they kind of dismiss the poisoning idea. So back to Simon. They're like, this guy's so controlling. He would tell her director she couldn't do romance scenes. He was lying to people about all this jewelry he had. And he was blowing all of Brittany's money. He even had some kids that nobody knew about. It doesn't look good for Simon. Then we go back to this photography thing. Remember he said he took photos of her when she was 17? Well, I got some photos, and you can find these on the Instagram. I'll put them on Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt, link in the show notes. Be sure to follow for great content. But Simon did photography of Brittany before she died even. And you can see, I mean, she's very thin. Like, to support the bulimia argument, like, she's incredibly skinny. Like, too much. But to be fair, like, if you look at the weight that people are supposed to not be considered overweight, that's pretty skinny. Like, if you watch those old, like, 60s, 70s movies, like, everyone's skinny as a rail. But she's definitely too skinny, right? But he did photography of her, and you see her in the bathtub. You see her wearing masks. You see her with the doll programming. Talked about this many times, how in initiation rituals of the occult, the candidate oftentimes has to wear a mask. And the mask in the ritual is intended to suppress the ego. And it allows programming of the mind. And Simon clearly was manipulative. Could have known about mind programming, MK Ultra type stuff. He clearly had an effect on her. He clearly controlled her and her mother on some levels. And we see the bathtub in the photos. Again, the idea of the passage of the goddess. Which, again, that's damn near how she died, right next to the bathtub. You got to see these photos. They're mad creepy. And which makes sense because Simon's a creepy dude. Then the documentary, but of course the documentary, the HBO show, they don't really go into any of it. They kind of flow right past it like here's some photos. You know, just an avant-garde couple doing avant-garde things. But the masks are super creepy. Trying to suppress Brittany's idea of who she is and tell her who she is. Control her. Because no matter which angle you want to take on how she died, if the feds were behind it, if the spirits in this haunted house were behind it, Simon for sure was controlling. Definitely. Right? So they play a couple seconds from a Saturday Night Live skit where they were mocking Brittany Murphy, and it was right before she died. They play 2 seconds of this thing. But I looked for it. And it's very difficult to find this clip. SNL removed it from their archive on Hulu. There's a lot of news articles discussing the removal, but I found it. And here it is. I'll play the whole thing for you in its entirety. It's not that funny. But oftentimes SNL is not that funny, so here you go.
It was reported this week that actress Brittany Murphy was fired from her upcoming film, The Caller, for being a detriment to production, and oh no.
Seth!
Brittany Murphy.
Seth, I'm really honored to be here hosting Saturday Night Live.
No, Brittany, you're not hosting.
Yeah.
I thought you were shooting a movie right now.
Yeah. They fired me. Yeah.
Brittany, that's too bad.
It's not bad, Seth. I got a plan. When the movie comes out, I'm gonna go to the theater and say, boo. And then the audience will join in and say, boo. And the director will say, ah, dang. And then I'll be all, told you. Best plan ever. Yeah.
I wouldn't call that the best plan ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, Blink 182.
You are not the host, Brittany Murphy.
Yeah.
I'll never tell.
Brittany Murphy, everybody.
Now, I imagine SNL only took this down because of the poor taste of mocking a dead person. But, like, that's kind of what SNL does, is mock people. So, I suppose it was just the timing, because it happened right when she died. I'll let you decide. You know, because I've watched a lot of SNL. Sometimes they're good. You know, in fact, the Michael Che and, what's that dude's name that married Scarlett Johansson? Colin Joyce? Oh, boy. You know who I'm talking about. Anyway, they do the weekend update now, and they do a pretty good job. It's probably the funniest part of the whole show. The skits are 50-50. Sometimes it's total garbage. Which, you know, explains why this wasn't that funny, because that's the worst part of the weekend update, is when they bring the guest on, because it's always stupid. I wish they would just bail on it. Anyhow. So then the HBO, back to the layout of them trying to portray Brittany as this unhinged drug addict, anemic, total, you know, getting screwed up from Simon's manipulation theory. They talk about how the last film she was supposed to be in was this horror movie called The Caller. And they basically are like, look, she bailed on this movie because she was so sick. She was anorexic and getting sicker by the moment. So she got fired for just being a mess. Or she left the movie. I don't remember which way they put it. But here's the thing. If you go to Hollywood Reporter's interview, they say that she left The Caller filming because she didn't like the Santeria in it, which is a sort of a cult religion, a fusion of Catholicism and voodoo. I'm going to read to you from it. Quote, press reports later said she was fired after the first day and that Simon had been drunk on the set. But the movie's producers, prodded by Simon's lawyer, called it a mutual parting. Simon told me that Brittany had been unhappy when she realized the thriller she had signed to star in had morphed into a horror flick. She said, there's too much Santeria in it, Simon recalled. And it was spooky. She told me, I've been offered lots of horror movies and I've never done them and I'm not going to start now. So again, hard to find the truth there, but that was definitely stated. They also, on this documentary, they also interview Perez Hilton, and he predicted her death in an interview. And like I said, you see this often. You know, there's a weird thing. People can read each other's energy in some ways. I don't know if there's something in the air. But all the rappers who died said it. You know, Triple X, Juice WRLD, Tupac. And Perez Hilton saw this coming, apparently. But in the documentary, they wrap it up. They conclude that, you know, Simon and Brittany died because they didn't go to the doctor. And Simon died. He was scared he was going to be exposed soon. And he gave up on life. And that's about it. There are so many questions unanswered on this documentary. And, of course, they didn't even go into the juiciest part of the story. But you know we are, right? You know we're going down that rabbit hole. We're going to do it. And in part two, well, let me cover the haunted house first. Because in part two, we're going to get into the FBI, the not the FBI, the surveillance on her from the feds and some real scary stuff. We got enough time. Let's go through the haunted house thing. And I was discussing this Brittany Murphy documentary with a friend. And she was like, well, you knew Britney Spears lived there in that same house. I said, get out of here. You know, because I know I follow a lot of celebs for this podcast thing. But that's not my thing. I don't really like it that much. I do it for you. I'm doing this for you. So I looked it up. And sure enough, here we go. I got a lot of information from AlexMatsuo.com has an article on this. Article called The House That Terrified Britney Spears and Brittany Murphy. And the idea being presented is that this house that her and Simon died in is actually haunted. And these spirits have affected Britney Spears and Brittany Murphy because obviously they both have their issues to contend with. Right? You don't need me to go through the history of Britney Spears to know what I'm talking about. And yeah, sure enough, the same exact home. What are the odds? Because Britney Spears lived there from 1999 to 2004. She lived there with Justin Timberlake. This was the peak of their careers. So lots of energy going on in that house. And I believe firmly that where there's lots of energy, it can be directed. That's why I believe these occult magicians and their practices. I believe there's something to it, right? And Britney Spears' makeup artist, Julianne Kay, she claimed that Britney Spears described the house as being very weird after Britney Spears had a Reiki healer come over because Britney Spears believed that she had opened a portal somehow. And it gets more specific. She was saying that a male and a female spirit were fighting with each other and they tried to push Britney Spears down the stairs. It's wild. And you think, how did HBO not mention any of this? Right? The makeup artist, Julianne Kay, she said this, quote, "It was so bad that she left. She went to Casa Del Mar Hotel to stay there and never went back to the house again. She goes, I know you're going to think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I know what I saw. I know what I felt. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I believe in that shit too. So it didn't really weird me out that much, but she was very persistent about it, and she put her house on the market. So Britney Spears talks about this portal opening up and these spirits fighting, and they're obviously malevolent. They try to push her down the stairs. And then she goes off, she sells the house, goes off on her way, and has all the issues with shaving her head and all that stuff. She sells the house. Britney Murphy buys it. And the article makes the point that Brittany Murphy did not die in the house. She actually died in the hospital, which the documentary plays the 911 call, and you hear Simon doing the CPR, albeit way too slow. You're supposed to do it to the rhythm, the beat of, Staying Alive, right? In case you need to know that for the future. Yeah, you do it to the rhythm of Staying Alive. Was it 30 BPMs? I don't know what it is. You know what I'm saying. But Simon did, in fact, die in the house. Were these spirits behind these deaths? That's the argument here. The article says that Brittany Murphy would often beg to not sleep in the house. And she would go to the Beverly Hills Hotel. So Brittany Spears did the same thing. She didn't want to stay in the house. She would leave. And we find out Brittany Murphy did the same thing. Could it be Simon Monjack was possessed by these spirits? And in fact, I think in the documentary, they even show Brittany Murphy talking about how she would go to the Beverly Hills Hotel all the time. And you hear about how the only room Brittany Murphy liked was the bathroom, which was the room she died in. I mean, it's bizarro. That same house, after Brittany Murphy and Simon Monjack died, was put on the market, it was listed 10 times, roughly once a year, since they left. And I can tell you this, I've got a neighbor, and I swear to God that house goes on the market once a year. And I know that thing's haunted. It's got to be haunted. I think, how is it that, you notice how many times people move in and out of a home. And if it's once a year, that bitch is haunted. So eventually the house gets torn down after, obviously after Brittany Murphy and Monjack and rebuilt. So, the spirits, maybe they're tied to the land if the people there keep selling it. So I don't know. And that's one argument. That I think that argument holds for 1050 Cielo Drive where the Manson murders happened. I think they tore that down. Yeah, they did. I know they did. Trent Reznor kept the front door from it, and rebuilt it. But if you watch, there's an episode of Ghost Adventures where they investigate the house that is on the land. That was severely haunted too. So even though they tore the house down after Murphy and Monjack, the spirits stay tied to the land. Or so the spirit experts tell us. There's a Hollywood Reporter article, and it says this. Quote, they discussed selling the big house Britney had purchased in 2003 for $3.9 million, fully furnished from Britney Spears, who had lived there with Justin Timberlake. Britney always felt the tri-level Mediterranean at the top of Rising Glen Road was unlucky. She wanted to start fresh in 2010 in New York, where they could start a family. Simon would find work as a screenwriter and director, and she would star in independent films that would revive her career. That Saturday night was chilly and windy. The electric power kept going out, and the backup generator failed. They used flashlights when it went dark. Afraid to light candles near the wheezing oxygen machine, Simon relied on to ease his sleep apnea, bouts of asthma, and frequent respiratory infections. Quote, she absolutely hated the Rising Glen house, Simon told me in January 2010. Every time we would drive up Sunset, Britt would say, please, can we stay at the Beverly Hills Hotel? I'd say, honey, you've got to be realistic. We have our house, a 10,000 square foot home. We're going to stay in it. Now, he was possessed by a spirit that was hungry for souls, then that's how you would treat that. Because for me, I'd be like, look, sugar mama, you're the money maker. You want to get out of this house? We're getting out of the house. Let's go buy another one. But not Simon Monjack. Finally, there was an interview I listened to, a show hosted by Jen Zabrowski, who's apparently of no relation to Henry Zabrowski from, was that last podcast on the left? A show called We Need to Talk About Britney. And she interviewed Heather Albel and John E.L. Tenney. And this show is about Britney Spears, not Britney Murphy, okay? This Heather Albel, she's a medium, and she thinks that Britney Spears has psychic abilities of some kind. And Heather said that it would have a happy ending. The interview, okay, this is back in March 2021. She discusses the Reiki healer Britney had over. We already talked about that. But then they pass it over to John E.L. Tenney, and he didn't know about the haunting, but he was like one of these like medium types, right? But he says that when people are in an anxious period of time and they go to a spiritual person like a Reiki healer, they will feel relaxed. And there's this non-traditional, non-Christian awareness that they'll have and a new clarity for the spiritual world. Now, where it got curious was they actually talk about the tulpas, an idea I talked about in Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, Use Your Illusion 1, if you read it. Hopefully you read it. Got some great reviews out there. Thank you for leaving reviews on Amazon or Audible. I checked them both out. But we talked about tulpas, which is an idea that comes from Tibet. It's the idea that you think about something enough, it will manifest. It will grow. Thoughts manifest reality. And he's saying that, look, if there's a house that kids are calling haunted and people keep repeating this story and focusing that attention on it, they're feeding the thought forms. And these negative thoughts will actually create negative energy. So basically, if Britney Spears started this thing, Brittany Murphy might have picked up on it and kept feeding these tulpas, these spirits in the house, negative energy. So there you go. That's another theory, that the spirits got her, or the spirits got a hold of Simon and possessed him, or there was just too much negative energy in the home. There's a lot more to unpack. There's a lot more ideas behind this death of Brittany Murphy than what the HBO documentary portrayed. They wanted to sort of make it a case closed thing where, like, look, Simon's a shady dude. He gave her bulimia because he kept, you know, abusing her and wanted her money. And then he wouldn't let her go to the doctor, and that's how she died. Oh, yeah? What about him? Why did he die? I mean, it could be because he had 90 medications on his nightstand, right? Like, true. Valid. You know, but clearly, I don't know. I wasn't there. How would I know? I just know there's a lot more to the story. Brittany Murphy has a very bizarre story. And we're not done. No. We're not even close to done. We're going to come back with a part two and discuss another theory that I was shocked the documentary didn't go into. I'm talking about the Fed rallies. Coming after Brittany for her support of a whistleblower that tried to reveal the truth. It's pretty wild. So, yeah, stay subscribed to the show for that. We're going to go deep into it. I'm going to prove some of these connections that are actually very hard to find. It took me a while to find it. We're going to prove these connections of Brittany to this alleged case with the Department of Homeland Security. We're going to go through my original article I wrote in 2012. I'm going to spell it out for you because I know you can't read it now because I had to take it down. I'm going to talk about it, and it's going to be a great time. So stay subscribed to the show. And what kind of call to action can I give you? First off, go to the Instagram, check out those images. They're mad creepy of Brittany with the masks. Instagram.com/IsaacWeishaupt, link in the show notes. And you want to support the show, I've got the best deal you're ever going to find. No more advertisements. Over 100 bonus episodes going back several years. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. Go to the VIP tab. Hit the VIP thing. Use promo code NOMORELOSERS. That will get you tier 1 access for only $2. And you're going to be able to do that for 2 full months, for January and February, the first 2 payments. But it ends January 31st. And on top of that, you're going to get 2 of my most popular books, The Dark Path, where I break down the entire agenda of why this is all happening. And I don't know if it's got to be worth $2, right? It's got the most reviews out of all my books, my magnum opus, my pride and joy, my baby. And I'm going to give it to you for $2, along with all these other things. And Kubrick's Code, where I go through Stanley Kubrick movies, Eyes Wide Shut, Clockwork Orange, The Shining, and of course, Eyes Wide Shut. And you'll also get a 2.5-hour documentary video I made about those for only $2. And you'll be supporting me. What a great relationship we'll have. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, VIP tab, promo code NOMORELOSERS, and get off the free feed. And get on with the ad-free version of the show. You'll love it. And you get all the bonus episodes, over 100 bonus episodes. So take advantage of that while you can. You got till January 31st. Link in the show notes, as always. Till next time, stay woke.